This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington. Welcome to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman joining you on your Friday night. Glad you're tuning in with us as the holidays quickly are upon us, Mr. Pillar. And today was final day for the kids, correct?
It was. They were jacked up.
Were they
really?
Expect.
Absolutely.
What does Jackson Creek do for the kids on the last day before holiday break?
Oh, you know, they have lots of activities and things going on in their classes. Some classes have finals and tests like you'd maybe think.
Is it the end of the semester also?
It is okay. The end of the semester. So, you know, us in North in the academy, as well as the other two middle schools and all the elementary schools, everybody but South is on a semester schedule. South runs those trimesters. Mm-hmm. So they're in the middle of trimester two, which ends at middle part of February. So, yeah, we're all on semester calendars and finishing up some classes and getting ready to transition out. And the high schools will come visit right after break and get kids scheduled for next year. And I'll hit the road and visit our feeder elementary schools, and we'll get them excited about coming here next year.
So, what are you going to do on your break time? Do you actually, as a principal, get a break?
Yeah, middle school, the two high school guys at North and South, Jeff Henderson and Mark Fletcher, they are on 238-day contracts. Mine's 210. Mm-hmm. And so part of my time off is the holidays, and they do not get that, but the rest of us mainly do. So few obligations over at school, a couple things we need to take care of, a couple small projects, obviously a big cleaning and reorganization sure. time for our custodial staff and such. But besides that, everyone should plan on all of the buildings being closed with the exceptions of the two comprehensive high schools. Everybody else is pretty much closed with the exception of our gym for athletic practices. They'll have some basketball practice mm-hmm. and some wrestling workouts over the holiday time. But other than that, your buildings are going to be closed, and chances are there's not going to be anyone around. So hopefully you didn't forget any instruments or forget any books or forget any iPods or cell phones right. or anything else like that. You could try your luck and see if a custodian will come to the door if you go and knock on the front, but chances are you're probably going to have to do without or talk to Santa.
Bring some hot chocolate and some sugar cookies for the nice custodians.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we just have a couple more weeks before the end of December. It's actually the last show before Christmas because yeah. Christmas is next Thursday, hard to believe.
Yeah.
Haven't got everything done yet.
That's two shows in a row for me, Jim. I'm feeling like Cal Ripken Jr.
True.
Right now. It's kind of like an Iron Man. I'm starting a new streak here.
Well, I think also it's either this week or last week was the two-year anniversary of the Inman takeover of the Bloomington Review.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
Hard to believe that it's been 2 years Jeez. Of doing this.
Yeah.
But regardless, as the holidays kick in, of course, WGCLradio.com, check that out. They've got the holidays in your hometown information there. So if you're looking for some things to do in the days ahead, is if you don't have enough cooking, getting ready for company, getting the presents wrapped, all of that kind of stuff, check out the holidays in your hometown on WGCLradio.com. And if you're catching us Friday night for the live show, big game tonight at Bloomington High School North. Southport, who was here last week and
yeah.
beat Bloomington High School South, is back in town.
Yeah, I
tonight.
Told you it'd be a good game, and it was 66-61. Southport is now number one team in the state. Knocked off South. South came back the next night and beat Decatur Central. This week, they're going to the Cougar Den, and we'll see how the Cougs do. Cougs got a win last Friday night at Perry Meridian, again, as predicted here, but then dropped one to a really tough ranked Evansville Wrights team. So, again, at another full show Friday. Again, thank goodness I've been working out, Jim, this past week to build up the stamina for a full show. But, yeah, we'll be passing it off to Joe and the guys at the yes. top of the hour, 7 o'clock. They'll be over, again, at Tom McKinney Court at the Bloomington High School North. And Kyle Simpson brings the Southport Cardinals, number one team in the state. Again, you want to go catch them and see some of that D1 talent that they've got. Tom Izzo, the head coach at Michigan State, was at the game last week at Bloomington South. So who knows what dignitaries or college folks may be at the Cougar Den mm-hmm. for this one. But Andy will have the boys ready to go. Should be another pretty good game, I think.
It absolutely should. And, of course, if you are following us online, Twitter at WGCL Radio for your info there, Facebook.com www.wgclradio.com/WGCL radio, all of your posts about what's going on at the station over the next couple of weeks and all the schedule changes, as you will, with Christmas coming up and whatnot. Of course, facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Make sure that you check that out. And I promise, if you like us on Facebook, it doesn't mean that we're going to hack into your movie account like what happened with Sony over the last week or so. The big news has been about, among other things, about the movie The Interview, and it's pretty much at this point been removed from any theaters.
Looking like straight to DVD now, Jim. Some of those other, like The Marine Part 4 that John Cena was in.
And I probably would have been okay with The Interview just going straight to DVD without any of the drama in the last few days.
And I hope we don't get negative comments on our Facebook page, but I'm not a giant Seth Rogen fan. I don't. Of the two guys that kind of look the same and kind of play the same parts, I think Jason Segel's quite dominating between the two.
I would go with that for sure. We're going to take a break. When we come back, give you a weather forecast, and it looks like some of the white stuff might be in the not-too-distant future for southern Indiana. We'll also give you some updates about some local news as well. And then later on the show, you know, with Christmas coming up and the holidays and everything, it's a tough time to find certain gifts, and if you are the last minute shopper like many people, we may have some ideas for you that are Indiana, Bloomington, IU based and themed. So we'll give you a couple of ideas about that, and then later on there is plenty in the NFL schedule as well, and times are changing because of Christmas this coming week, so we'll give you some updates on that, plus Mr. Pillar and I for a full hour, as he said.
Let's strap in, get ready,
stay with us everybody. We'll be back in a couple minutes here on the Bloomington Review. Little Brenda Lee rocking around the Christmas tree there for you here on the Bloomington Review. Mr. Jim Inman, Mr. David Pillar joining you on your Friday night. And Christmas is just 4 or 5 days away, and the forecast is turning to be a little bit more closer to the Bing Crosby white Christmas, Mr. Pillar.
Yeah, sure is, Jim. Tonight, 20% chance of snow after 2 a.m., mostly cloudy, with low around 29. We're not talking a major accumulation or anything, just some snow falling from the sky. Chance of snow in the afternoon on Saturday, again, cloudy, high around 36. Saturday night, 30% chance of rain and snow mix, so be careful. Mostly cloudy with a low around 26. Sunday's mostly sunny. With a high near 38. Early signs, though, Jim, on our WGCL radar show that there's a pretty good likelihood for a white Christmas, but it's a little too early to say. Keep it locked in, as always, WGCLradio.com. Maybe a little bit of snow, but not going to be a white blanket. So
you don't think, though, it'll be enough that you can look for some hoof prints if you're out and about
on
Christmas.
If you've been good,
morning.
Jim, which true. Would be the problem this. With us.
Hey, if you're going to be traveling south of Bloomington starting a couple days back during the holiday season and beyond, you may notice that traffic has changed up a bit on State Highway 37 on Wednesday this week because of the I-69 construction. NDOT, the Indiana Department of Transportation, has announced that they redirected traffic. So if you haven't been through the area lately, here's what's going on now. There's only one lane in each direction that will be open in the work zone between Fullerton Pike and Dillman Road. So traffic's going to shift across the median to share the new southbound pavement. And this is, again, on Highway 37. Left turns are going to be prohibited at Rockport Road and that road. The West Bolin Lane, scheduled to reopen, should be open today, but if not, early next week, to provide an alternate route for local traffic. And then the Trumpet Exchange is going to be built to connect I-69 with the existing State Road 37 corridor. So continued progress on all of that, like it or not. But again, if you were headed south and you haven't been through there in a little bit, especially if you were doing holiday shopping down in Bedford or beyond, give yourself a little bit of extra time because the roads are changed up now just south of Bloomington.
All right. Sounds good. More traffic news. Police say a man suspected of shoplifting electronic tablets from Kohl's last Sunday evening led officers on a 12-minute-long car chase at speeds that reached 80 miles an hour. No injuries were reported in the chase, and with the exception of a yard, no property was damaged, according to Bloomington Police Sergeant Joe Kreider. Michael Robert Ray, 34 years old, of Bloomfield, was arrested Sunday by Bloomington police on preliminary charges of resisting law enforcement, reckless driving, criminal recklessness, theft, and possession of paraphernalia. He was also cited for speeding, disregarding a stop sign, improper passing on the left, driving left of center, and disregarding a traffic signal.
All of those are on Santa's naughty list, by the way.
Yes, yes. There will be no hoof prints in his yard. Security officers at Kohl's called Bloomington police to report a man removing tags from electronics within the store at 5:49 p.m. An officer attempted to conduct a traffic stop of a maroon Chevy Cobalt driven by Ray. He didn't stop and instead led police on a 12-minute pursuit that was called off by Bloomington police supervisor because of speeds. The pursuit was terminated by a supervisor, again, as they topped 80 miles an hour. Monroe County Sheriff's deputies later found the vehicle in the 6200 block of Koontz Road. The car belongs to a woman who told investigators she loaned Ray the car. Deputies again called city police at 10 p.m. after they found Ray at Walmart. He was in a restroom using drugs. Ray was booked into the Monroe County Jail at 11:53 Sunday. His bond was set at $2,000 surety and $500 cash.
And again, Santa's naughty list for sure. On a much lighter note, community came out earlier this week to tell the MCCSC school board about their support for Fairview Elementary School and its principal, as well as air their concerns about the school at a public hearing. Sarah Gardner, who's a teacher at Fairview, was quoted in the Herald Times this week. She said the school is under, quote, intense pressure, and the negative comments from parents and online forums and in the Herald Times felt deeply personal to her. And she encouraged the public to be more positive and constructive when speaking about the school. Because Fairview Elementary has received failing grades 3 years in a row from the Indiana Department of Education, the MCCSC School Board, Board of Trustees, was required to conduct a public hearing on the school's lack of improvement. Now, the new principal there at Fairview, Principal Justin Hunter, said during the meeting that he provided information about the steps the school has taken to improve in the hope that it will receive a C-minus grade instead of an F this year. Fairview teachers and staff have also been focusing on individual students with targeted interventions in areas where the struggle and attempts to improve student attendance. Hunter said students with chronic behavior problems had been paired with mentors who meet with them every day. Parent Amanda Nikki is quoted in the HT. She said that the staff at Fairview is amazing, but she also urged the board to consider redistricting Fairview to balance the population of students from low-income families with students from more affluent families. 88% of students at Fairview in the 2013-14 school year received free or reduced price lunches because of their families' low incomes. Next meeting is going to take place with the MCC board on January 27th at the Admin Center. And, of course, Keith Klein and Sue Wanzer are on with Glass in the Morning every Thursday here on WGCL.
And Jim, again, I don't want to get too deep into this because Keith and Glass and Sue did a nice job kind of talking through it this week. The grading policy in the state is a real challenge. It's one that the rules are constantly evolving, we shall say, on how that works. And you've seen the things that have come out of the state with Tony Bennett's involvement in the grading and the schools that were donating big money to his causes and kind of how that all worked out. So it's a less than perfect system by far, but you know, Dr. Hunter's doing some yeoman's work over at Fairview right now, and they've got a lot of people involved that want to make this better. You know, redistricting isn't necessarily the answer in a lot of ways, and Glass really did a great job with Margaret Wednesday of this week talking about that, because all it's doing is moving
shuffling a
problem to other places instead of working on solving the problem. And then when you disperse the situation, you're also dispersing the resources that are there to help. So it's a challenge. And then, quite frankly, a redistricting, if you look at the other schools that border the Fairview district, you're also dealing with some what we call Title I schools that are higher poverty schools as well. So not an easy fix by any means, but it's great to see the community out to support that. And that's the biggest step, I think, in the right direction.
Is just getting community support and involvement. And hopefully that will continue to grow.
No question. So the folks at Fairview, they make the nice list, as do the folks from the IU Kelley School of Business, as they donated nearly 2,000 books to a university in Myanmar. As they were clearing out an office before renovations It's a great chance to clean and organize, but it's also a chance for the IU Kelley School of Business to help another university on the other side of the world. We've been looking for imaginative ways to help our partners, said Jonathan Crum, program manager for Kelley's Institute for International Business. The school, Kelley School, is donating 1,912 books to Yangon University of Economics in Myanmar. The books are boxed up, and the Kelley staff are just waiting on a free import license, which Crum expects to arrive in the next few weeks before sending the books. We look for books that were business and economics related and teaching manuals. We didn't want books that were U.S. law or older than 10 years. He said that roughly 79 boxes of books will help to update the Southeast Asian University's antiquated library. We want to make a difference, he said, but it's also up to those Kelley works with to adapt the knowledge for that country, too, Crum said. He said those at Yangon were happy to hear Kelley faculty wanted to help modernize their library, and being able to help in this volume is unexpected but quite welcome, said Crum. So great job to the Kelley School of Business. They are on the nice list.
We're going to take a break, folks. When we come back, more on the local scene, and later, if you need some last-minute Christmas items and you want to get something special that connects to Bloomington, we've got some inside tips for you. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and David Pillar with you on your Friday night, or if you're catching us Saturday morning, thank you for kicking off your weekend with us. I'm sure it is a little bit hectic around Bloomington as people are out doing their last-minute holiday shopping. It's the getting together the weekend before Christmas kind of thing, or if you are having to work this weekend as well, well, we are thinking about you also.
That's right.
And big news across the, really across the hemisphere this week as Fidel Castro and Cuba and communism and everything that's been tied with that for more than 50 years. Well, life has changed a little bit now between the relationship with the country just south of the United States and with the U.S. American contractor Alan Gross and a U.S. intelligence operative were swapped, as USA Today calls it, with three Cubans jailed in the United States. A big deal, obviously. But President Obama threw on top of that the reestablishment of formal diplomatic relations, a plan to open a full embassy in Havana, and expanded opportunities for Americans to do business with and in Cuba. Now, this is a legend fact. I don't know if it's really true or not, but urban legend says that President John Kennedy was the last American to legally purchase Cuban cigars and smoke them on U.S. soil.
Neat.
And it's kind of amazing to think that the last time there was any kind of relationship between the two countries, black and white television, pretty much a whole generation or two gone now. A lot of the people today were not around when the Bay of Pigs took place and the revolution of Fidel Castro and the Cuban Missile Crisis. So regardless of how you feel, the world has changed just a little bit this week across the United States and Cuba.
That it has. Back here in Indiana, Senator Karen Tallien has tried for years to legalize marijuana here in Indiana. The Democrat from Portage has introduced bills that would have decriminalized the possession of small amounts of marijuana, and those efforts so far have failed. This coming session, Tallien hopes a more narrowly defined bill to legalize marijuana for people with certain medical conditions would fare better in a Republican-controlled legislature. The bill that she plans to introduce would allow people with a medical marijuana card and a doctor's recommendation to use marijuana. I'm trying something a little different, Tallien said. I'm hoping to get a little more sympathy to get a hearing. Experts say a narrower proposal that would benefit people with specific medical problems is likely to go further in the legislature and could get some support from medical associations and people who have family members with debilitating illnesses. I think there's a huge segment of population that thinks this is okay, Tallien said, and the general public is much farther ahead than the legislature on this issue. In explaining how she became a strong advocate for legalizing marijuana, Tallien tells the story of a girl who got arrested for possession of a small amount of marijuana just after graduating from high school. The girl did everything she needed to do, Tallien said. She went to court, hired an attorney, pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor, did community service, paid her fine, and underwent substance abuse counseling. The girl went to college to become a teacher. When she was supported to start her student teaching, Tallien said the school superintendent told her she could not be a teacher because of her criminal record. I'm tired of that stuff, Tallien said. I'm an attorney. I'm tired of going to court and seeing one kid after another pleading guilty to a misdemeanor, which can stay on their record. So already people are posturing for the next legislative session, Jim.
There was also some news out in RBB land out in Ellettsville, wasn't there, Mr. Carter?
Yeah, our friends in RBB got a little bit of a raise. So administrators and classified staff at RBB will see a 1% raise in 2015 now that the board voted 5-0 in favor of the pay increases at their meeting this past Monday night. Jason Bletzger, a friend of the show, assistant superintendent, is one exception to that rule. He will see a raise of $6,000, with his salary going up from $90,000 to $96,000. Glenn Hopkins, who was recently hired as principal at Steinsville Elementary after serving as an assistant principal, also saw a pay increase due to being hired into his new position from $53,000 to $78,000. All administrator contracts were extended out to the end of the 16-17 school year. Last year, administrators, custodial staff, secretaries, maintenance workers, and other classified employees received a 0.5% raise. They will see this year's 1% increase on their first paycheck in January. According to RBB Superintendent Mike Wilcox, the raises have been a long time coming. At the meeting, Wilcox also announced teachers at RBB will see some extra cash just before the holidays. RBB teachers who received highly effective or effective ratings on their state-mandated performance evaluations will receive a stipend, and Wilcox hopes to get it out to teachers by this Friday. Due to around 95% of the district's teachers receiving highly effective or effective ratings, the state awarded a total of $71,000 that will be divided amongst the faculty. And also in a unanimous vote, the RBB school board also approved a 2015-16 school calendar for the district with a school start date, this is RBB, of August 4th, 2015, and ending on May 25th, 2016. Wilcox said calendar is typically approved in January, and he was pleased the board was able to share it with the community a month earlier than usual.
And then on a serious note and an unfortunate note, two ladies from Bloomington passed away over the last week, and both names that many of our listeners may know. First one was Jill Clay, who about 30 years back, she was a runner at Bloomington High School North, and then later on became a teacher at Fairview Elementary, which we talked about a little bit ago. Andy Graham earlier this week had a tremendous write-up in the
Andy
Herald Times.
Knocked that out of the park.
What a great article. Yeah, quoted, Jill was bright, cheery, and clever. She tended to put everybody around her in a good mood. She was funny. She was kind. She was considerate. She very clearly cared about people. All that was apparent from the get-go. She took care of her kids, at both her own as well as those that she taught over the years, involved in a variety of activities across Bloomington and Monroe County, and passed away last Thursday at the age of 47. And many may know her mother, Linda Lamoran Clay, who has been around Bloomington for a long time and a sweet lady also. Another unfortunate loss was Regina Hall Crow. She was the wife of Alex and the mother of Elijah. We've talked about her a couple times. She was a double lung transplant recipient back in 2012. She'd been fighting for many years a condition called cystic fibrosis. It's a condition that Regina was born with and lived with her entire life, but unfortunately had some complications in recent weeks and was back in St. Louis for treatment and passed away unexpectedly. So wanted to recognize those two women because they were appreciated and loved not only by their family and friends, but many people in the community as well. And as you get into the holiday season, it's a great time to tell your friends and family that you love them and remember these special times together. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll give you some shopping tips about things around Bloomington and Monroe County. Later on, plenty to talk about in sports as well. So stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Tuba Santas, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and David Pillar with you on a Friday night, the Friday before Christmas, and hopefully you have your stuff wrapped and locked and loaded and all that. How's your shopping gone, Mr. Pillar?
You know, I'm about done for the most part. The fine folks at Amazon will keep sending boxes, and the key is to keep Kelly away from the boxes on the porch because she will grab them and shake them and try to tell what's in them, and you try to tell her to stay away, and she doesn't, but that's okay.
Are you a good Christmas wrapper?
No, everything goes in bags. When your gift arrives later, I guarantee you, bag.
Okay. So my 6-7 years of Williams Jewelry taught me how to wrap a present, and it always had to be just right. You always put the ribbon over the fold of the paper, so
sure,
you can't see all of that stuff.
Sure. Well, you know, I mean, let's cut to the important stuff, Jim. If you still haven't gotten a gift for me,
yes,
and you know I love Bloomington about as
yes
much as you do,
yes,
that we've got a lot of things because you know the thing about Bloomington is so many of our friends over the years here have moved on somewhere else,
right?
And so many other people, maybe you're trying to convince to come to Bloomington and visit, maybe for the first time or just to give them a little taste of what it's mm-hmm like to be here in Bloomington. There's lots of good stuff that you can send around the country and around the world to give people that may be a little bit homesick a little taste of Bloomington. What do you got?
Do you have your own set of candy stripe pants?
I do.
Really?
Yes, and they were obtained legally through from Dick's Sporting Goods. They were not stolen out of the back in the of the laundry bin. Jay Sears and Rusty Stillions and those guys over there would Chuck. I can't even say Chuck would be mad too. So
you have height on your side, so yours probably don't drag the ground.
They do, yeah. And luckily, I've put on a little bit of weight over the last couple of years, so they're a little bit firmer around the waist as well. But they're stripes, Jim, so they're slimming.
Okay. Well, candy stripe pants are a great thing. Of course, anything IU-related, sweatshirts, T-shirts, all that kind of stuff. There's plenty of places around Bloomington and Monroe County where you can find all of that. And even if you're an online shopper, Amazon places, they can probably ship it for you as well.
Yeah, and you know what? Both high schools, North, South, and our friends over at Edgewood, they're doing a good job with their own apparel. So if you do have friends that were locals and have moved on, maybe a little throwback from their high school days would be a good gift, too. The bookstores at both high schools can help you out.
And then, of course, if you have anybody that likes any kind of entertainment, Hoosiers Breaking Away, if they don't have either of these on DVD, might have them in a closet on VHS. But
father-in-law got that last year. It was a
Which
good
one?
Gift. Hoosiers, and I got it from the foundation, school foundation's auction. But, of course, Angelo Pizzo is, intimately involved in both movies, and he was a former Jackson Creek parent, so he ended up with an autographed copy of that to pass on. So that's a cool one.
Was the film Rudy was filmed up at Notre Dame, correct?
A lot of it.
Okay. I'm looking at Wikipedia for films shot in Indiana, and some of these, like Blue Chips
was
from
Frankfurt.
One from years ago, but there's a couple others here that I've never heard. This is the movie Pearl Harbor, the one with Ben Affleck had scenes filmed in Indiana, but I don't know about that. Then what was the baseball movie, the ladies' baseball movie?
Oh, yeah, the League of Their Own.
League of Their Own.
Yeah,
that's on. Oh, there it is as well. So anyway, there's some good Indiana movies. Great local wines in this area as well.
Yeah, Kelly's the wine drink of the family. I only like wine if it tastes like beer. So I don't.
If your wine has a head on it,
exactly. So I don't drink it. But there are, obviously several wonderful wineries around the area. So not only the bottle of wine, but if people are coming into town, some great winery tours and some great facilities that people can go check out as well. So.
And then we've got plenty of local musicians, both through IU School of Music, but also just anytime you go to a venue across town at night, there's plenty of local musicians. They've got CDs available. Plus, you can even, if somebody is coming to Bloomington for the week or for the weekend, get some tickets to one of the clubs in town and go see a show.
Word on the street is, that now that I'm over in the Ellettsville area, word on the street is our very own Minister of Culture might be making an appearance on stage later on. And you have been on stage with another band here recently.
Been a little bit, but this time it's just an MC gig.
Oh, just an MC gig. Yeah, it's that golden voice.
It's the annual Edgewood reunion at the Bluebird Tuesday night. So
hide the women and children. Stay off the streets. It's going to get crazy.
I don't know if it'll be quite as fun as Hairbanger's Ball, but it'll still be a heck of a good time.
Yeah.
We've also had folks on about First Friday, local art galleries and things like that. And if you have someone with a little bit more culture, there's always some kind of unique art that can be found across Bloomington.
Yep.
So check out your favorite galleries. Head downtown. A lot of those are going to be open throughout the weekend as well. Limestone's big, of course, in Indiana. So if you find some place that's got authentic Indiana limestone, even something as simple as coasters can be a good item as well to give away. There's a lot of local vendors in general, though, who make things. If you've been to the holiday market, if you go to the farmer's market throughout the year. But just check out a lot of the, as Julie Warren said more than once, she's director of tourism for Visit Bloomington. A lot of the local churches and venues have craft shows and things like that. It might be a little bit late to find something, but you never know. So check on that. We talked about the wineries, but there's also plenty of local cuisine.
Yep,
gift certificates
absolutely.
Are a great gift and give another experience for local food. And then there's plenty of magazines and publications across the area.
Yeah, Bloom Magazine's a great one to have that sent off. They do a great job of keeping up on everything that's Bloomington.
And so you can always do a subscription like that. And then one other thing I noted here, there are tremendous local charities in this town as well. And if you need to give a gift for someone who literally has everything, the best gift is support a charity in their honor and send them a note that you thought, maybe you don't need another set of towels. Instead, we're going to give a little bit of encouragement to an organization.
Sure. And you know what, as you mentioned earlier, if you don't have anything else, maybe just go ahead and jot down the address, the web address for the Bloomington Review, and just send that to somebody. That's a gift that keeps giving.
Why
because,
not?
Of course, you go on to WGCLradio.com, and you can look up past shows. And tell you what, that's the one that Cousin Eddie would even appreciate, Jim. It's the one that keeps on giving all year long.
Although these days, I don't know if we want to be associated with Cousin Eddie in the way
No, not so much.
That gives you some ideas. If you've got some your Christmas ideas that relate to Bloomington, put those on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. We're going to take a break. When we come back, plenty to talk about on the local sports scene. Not only have we got high school basketball coming up, or if you are catching us Friday night, but plenty of Colts and NFL action over the next week or so as the schedule gets a little bit wonky because of Christmas. We'll also talk about IU hoops.
A little bit,
as
what?
Well.
What are you using Southern Indiana terms
I
on
don't know.
Here?
I think
wonky?
I've heard.
Is that the word
wonky?
Wonky? Is that what you just said?
I don't know. Something like that. Maybe I heard Glass use that. I'm not sure.
All right.
Anyway, lots to talk about. Stay with us. We'll be back in a couple minutes here on the Bloomington Review. Sports. Sports. Not really a Christmas-themed sports intro, but nonetheless, it is sports time here on the Bloomington Review, and there's plenty to talk about, as we mentioned a few minutes ago. Of course, if you're catching us Friday night, Southport is back at Bloomington High School North tonight. As we mentioned earlier on in the show, they are the number one boys basketball team in the state, right?
Yeah,
Mr.
we
Pillar?
Talked a little bit about them last week when they came to South, who they beat 66-61. But Kyle Simpson, a longtime former coach at Bloomington South, will be bringing the Cardinals into town here to take on the Cougs this time on the north side. And again, at the top of the hour, there'll be the news and weather update as always. But then Joe Smith and his team will be taking the court as well at McKinney Court. Cougar Den is the Cougs will host the Southport Cardinals. Again, should be a competitive game. Southport, as I mentioned earlier, Tom Izzo, the head coach at Michigan State, was at South's gym last week to see Joey Brunk, the 6'10 junior, at Southport, among several other Southport athletes that they've got. So, again, probably another opportunity for some coaches to come in and check out this game. But Andy will have the boys ready to go, so stay tuned. Joe will have the call on that one. We've also got just a ton of NFL action this weekend, Jim. My goodness. Last night, the Titans and the Jags. But tomorrow, or if you're with us Saturday, later on today, the Eagles and the Redskins are going to – pregame starts at 3:30, kickoffs at 4. And then at 7:45, the Chargers at the San Francisco 49ers. And big news coming out of San Francisco was with Jim Harbaugh and whether or not he's going to be wooed to go to Michigan, with Michigan supposedly and reportedly throwing a lot of money his way, and the 49ers being knocked out of the playoff picture already this year. Maybe a reunion. Never know. Then Sunday, the Colts are on the road at the other massive, amazingly wonderful facility, and that's the Texas for the Dallas Cowboys at Cowboy Stadium down there. Then Sunday night football, Seahawks and the Cardinals, a big NFC West battle that will probably go a long way in determining who's going to win that conference. And that's a big deal because if you're a conference champion, you may not have the best record, but you get to host a playoff game. And so the Colts are your AFC South champions after defeating the Houston Texans last week in a kind of a boring, deliberate 17-10 win. But anyway, the Colts are the champs, so that means they're going to host a playoff game. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if the Colts can catch the Broncos or the Patriots. Record-wise, those two teams are really strong right now. But it does mean that the Colts are going to get to host a game. That means who comes to Indianapolis, too early to tell. Could be the Dolphins, could be the Buffalo Bills, could be the Kansas City Chiefs, could be the San Diego Chargers. You've got that mess in the Central Division with the Ravens, the Bengals, the Browns, the Steelers are all within a game and a half of each other. So lots of things can happen, but the most important thing is the Colts have already secured their spot as the AFC champs and the hosts of a playoff game. So then Monday Night Football this week, again, Broncos and Bengals, big one. Peyton brings his game to Cincinnati where the Bengals are in a dogfight again for that division. And then next week, Jim, already we're going to talk after Christmas on the NFL beat. Sunday, Colts on the road one last time to wrap up the regular season. at the Tennessee Titans. It's one of those games where could be something to play for, maybe not. If there's something to play for, if they have a chance of staying up with the Broncos for to get that first round bye, then maybe you see Andrew Luck in the whole game. If not, it might be Hasselbeck time, and they may just take their 3 seed or their 4 seed and give some guys some time off. The Titans are a kind of a ragtag bunch right now, with only they got beat by the Jets last week. You beat by the Jets, that's pretty bad. So anyway, tons and tons of NFL action.
Yes.
So stay tuned, WGCLradio.com. Go on the sports page. You can check out all the listings. You know, it's all Westwood One Radio. It's good stuff. I've listened to them a lot of the times. I know it's good stuff.
Do you know about Mr. Oliver Luck?
I do. And normally, you know, gosh, my parents live 6 hours away. And so if I had an opportunity to get my parents closer, that'd be a good deal. But Andrew Luck, that we just talked about, has a chance now to spend a lot more quality time with Dad.
I didn't realize his father was such a highly regarded sports individual.
Well, yeah, you know, he played in the NFL himself. Of course, he was a football player. But his dad also was the athletic director. Was the athletic director of West Virginia University in Morgantown. But now he's going to be one of the vice presidents in the NCAA. And, of course, the NCAA offices right up the road in Indianapolis.
Downtown Indianapolis,
so,
yes.
That's a cool situation that those cards fall into place for those two guys to get to be around together. So let's talk a little bit more basketball, Jim. IU ladies hoops team, of course, doing well with a 9-1 record. They are playing at Oakland in Michigan, so not Oakland, California, but Oakland in Michigan. And then their Big Ten season tips off on the 28th, right after Christmas, with Rutgers here in Bloomington, and then also Michigan State on New Year's Eve. The men's team 8-2. They're taking the week off for finals after a successful weekend game. But they have Butler. That'll be a big one later on tomorrow. Later on today, if you're with us on Saturday, Crossroads Classic. They've got Butler, and then in the second part of that game, it's Purdue and Notre Dame. Kind of a cool situation that they've got there to keep those four major Indiana teams playing. And I believe that starts 2:30, 3 o'clock. I forget the exact time. I'm not a part of that one.
My fault. Yep.
And then back in here in Bloomington on Monday night, host New Orleans, University of New Orleans, just back now being a Division I team after having to go back to Division III because of all the Hurricane Katrina stuff and everything that happened to their facilities. UNO's in town on Monday night, and then the Hoosiers get a couple days off, I hope, for Christmas, and they go back to New York City where they will be taking on Georgetown this time. That's at the Barclays Center, so big one there.
And there was an article talking about Coach Crean and his thoughts on Devin Davis and his recovery and everything, and, you know, it sounds like that Devin is recovering as well as he can, but the article also said it was a traumatic brain injury.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And we need to realize that, number one, he's lucky to be alive.
Absolutely.
Number two, that every individual recovery time is different in a situation like that. A lot of people associate a traumatic brain injury either to a war veteran or to Gabby Giffords and the Arizona shooting that took place a few years back. I'm not saying that Devin is any shape like any of those individuals. Every case is different.
Sure.
But his recovery is going to be as his body can heal. And
right.
I'm sure that they are doing everything that they can to support him through that healing process.
Yeah, and some discussion was about a red shirt year, some discussion about where he might fit in the future of the program. But I think it's fairly certain that Coach Crean wants Devin Davis to be a part of the IU basketball family in whatever capacity he can be. And obviously getting him back onto the court would be great. Mm-hmm. But as Coach Crean said, you know, his long-term health is the number one priority. Coach Crean went on to say, of course, we miss him. You miss him as a teammate, as a family member. You miss him because he's a heck of a rebounder. But his long-term health, you know, Devin Davis, again, before this happened, he's not an NBA prospect. He's not a pro player. Does that mean he couldn't play overseas somewhere else and maybe earn some money? Of course, he's got that opportunity because he's pretty talented. But his long-term health, you know, Devin Davis 30, 40 years from now is much, much more important than Devin Davis in this 2014-2015 IU basketball season when it comes to wins and losses. This young man's long-term care is the most important thing.
And medicine is great, and medicine can do wonderful things, but the human body has to do it in its own time.
That's right.
Finally, quickly, before we have to take a break, Big Ten Network had an interesting survey about IU's Mount Rushmore. Did you hear about this?
I didn't hear about it until you gave the information to me.
They took a survey or asked for a survey of if IU were to have its own Mount Rushmore of IU football stars, who would the four faces be of IU's Mount Rushmore? Well, and the survey results are in, Mr. Pillar.
Yeah, they went with Anthony Thompson, who should be a slam dunk, of course. Von Dunbar, who also broke all of Anthony Thompson's rushing records. Antoine Randall-El, just because he is absolutely awesome. I got to spend a couple years with him when he was with the basketball team, and truly, truly such a great guy on so many levels. I'll share stories about him someday when it comes up, but I love that guy. He's just one of my favorite people, and I love seeing him on TV. I'm so glad he got a Super Bowl ring, drafted by the Cubs, drafted by the Steelers, played for the IU basketball team. This kid was special as a person and as an athlete, so I'm thrilled he's on there. And then George Taliaferro, obviously, with so many of the important things he did, mm-hmm. I think it makes perfect sense when you think about the people on Mount Rushmore and how they helped make up the nation. So kind of a cool little activity. Of course, it's the end of the year, Jim, and yes. You know, the end of the year means time for lists, and everyone yes. has a list. So, and Tevin Coleman, All-American, consensus first team All-American. How cool is that? Considered one of the best players in the country, and even though he didn't get the Heisman, even though he didn't get the Doak Walker Award, All-American, that's pretty darn cool. So now we wait to see if he'll return for next year.
That's right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, just a couple minutes left in the show. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Listen for the sleigh bells in just a few nights, boys and girls. The big man in the red suit is coming your way. Jim Inman and David Pillar are with you tonight. That's the last show before Christmas, and we'll have some little bit of updates and best ofs over the next couple of weeks with the holidays kicking in, so make sure that you keep your dial tuned in to AM 1370, 96.1 FM, or AM 1370, and of course, WGCLradio.com for the streaming audio there as well. What's the forecast for the weekend, Mr. Pillar?
Jim, Friday night, if you're with us, a 20% chance of light snow after 2 a.m. mostly cloudy with a low around 29. Saturday, chance of snow in the afternoon, cloudy, high around 36. Saturday night, 30% chance of rain and snow, mostly cloudy with a low around 26. And Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 38. None of the snow is going to be big accumulation. So just all
never
your weather all the
never.
Time. WGCRadio.com, Jim, they'll tell you everything you need to know. People need to understand how difficult it is for us to come up with a best of show. And you know what? If people are thinking, yeah, because you guys really would need to find. Now, you know what? Every week's best of, as far as I'm concerned, Jim. It is a challenge for us to come up with the best of. But we've got some great past guests that we want to highlight some of them.
We absolutely
and some of the causes that we've talked about. And as always, just like the commercial says, that we want to talk about the things that make Bloomington great and the people that make it great. And so these shows are a little opportunity for us to splice some things together. And for us just to not come in and work. So there's that, too.
But anyway, some
good stuff.
That is exactly right. If only we had the WGCL bar where we could just belly up and record everything, it would make it that much more.
I like it. I like the sounds.
Although it probably would only last one show, and then we would be banned. But
do
hey,
anything once, Jim.
You can only.
There you go.
That's exactly right.
Do anything once.
Exciting news. My family, my sister who's lived in North Carolina for the last year and a half and has a wonderful job with the federal government, it has been it's a promotion of sorts in the geographic area, but it's the same job. But she's going to be moving to the capital of Kentucky, Frankfort. So she'll be less than 3 hours from home than flights back and forth to the Raleigh-Durham area.
So you appreciate family so much this time of year, and that's a good one.
So congratulations to my little sister, Jody Inman, and looking forward to seeing her this weekend, and we'll be getting her moved down to Kentucky in the not too distant future. You going to Ohio? You going to Boston? You staying in? What's your plan?
Going to Bellflower, Illinois for the Christmas show with my with Kelly and all of the in-laws, and then some time in Indianapolis with brother-in-law, sister-in-law, and the in-laws, and then my parents will come out in this direction a little bit later on, and we'll just have a good time.
Good. Low-key Christmas Eve at mom's grandma's house on Christmas afternoon and evening, back at my mom's Christmas Day, and back to it. I'm not taking any holiday vacation off work, so
that's
I get Christmas Eve and
be.
Christmas Day, and there may be a couple of red-suited events as well.
Mixed I like
in.
It. Well, hey, Bill Hayes, who's taught English at Bloomington High School North for 40 years.
Yes.
Today was his last day. Bill's retiring, and I know so many people know him here in Bloomington. So congratulations, my dear friend. And
41
enjoy.
Years. Yep. That's amazing. That is awesome. Everybody have a great Christmas. Mr. Pillar, you and Kelly, enjoy it.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, my friend. And all of our friends out there.
Absolutely. We will talk to you all next week. Have a safe holiday. Stay warm. Bye-bye.